This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's New York boy career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. Welcome to episode 5, where we dissect Billy's fourth album, Turnstiles.
Dissect it like a frog or something?
Yep. We're going to take it all apart. We're going to take off the arms and the legs, and your mom is going to have to write a note saying that you can't do it because you're too sensitive.
Well, Billy's a sensitive boy.
He really is.
He really is. And we see that in this record.
In this record.
He's more confident. You know why he's more confident?
Why is he more confident?
He's back home.
Yeah, he is.
And he's with his boys.
Yep.
I would call Turnstiles the beginning of Billy Joel's classic period, right?
I would agree. It starts to sound more like Billy Joel. We had a little bit of that with Cold Spring Harbor, and then we lost it with Streetlight Serenade.
Because he went out to Los Angeles.
What? Why would anyone do that?
Why would anyone do that? He's back in New York, and he's got the boys in the band.
Yes!
All right? The Billy Joel band has been formed for this record.
It has.
So we're talking about
Liberty DeVito. Yep.
Okay, Liberty DeVito, his drummer and de facto band leader, and I'm in all seriousness, I think probably the most important person in Billy Joel's career from a creative standpoint, other than Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Because we will find that, like, he's good when he's with Liberty, and he's really bad when he's not with Liberty.
Yeah.
Right? Liberty DeVito is the only guy that can tell Joel, dude, that sucks, and Joel takes it seriously, which is I think why Joel eventually sends him away. Because he doesn't want to have to confront the hard truths. Plus, Liberty DeVito is this guy.
Bass drum is on 2 and 4.
I mean, you don't want to cross that guy.
You don't want to cross the guy who says 4 when he's talking about...
He's got the bass on the 2 and the 4. Now get out of my house.
Anywho, so this album came out May 19th, 1976. Meg, remind us what else is happening down there in 1976.
Phantom Comes Alive hits number one on the Billboard 200, causing other musicians to kick themselves for not coming up with the talking guitar gimmick earlier.
Actor Fred Savage is born, so that as soon as baby boomers like Billy Joel stop being shallowly disdainful of their suburban upbringing, they can transition right into being shallowly nostalgic for their suburban upbringing.
Burn. The American $2 bill is reintroduced and is quickly made the preferred currencies of grandpas everywhere.
Here's $2. Go rake the leaves.
Go do it.
The Muppet Show debuts, featuring a bear who sings like, ha, and a frog who sings like, hmm. Oh, wait, those are just Billy Joel's voices on Turnstiles. But The Muppet Show did also debut in 1976.
1976 was the year that Billy moved back to New York.
Solid year for a Joel coming. It's like a homecoming, but with
that
Joel.
That was good, yeah. Thanks. I liked it. So Billy originally recorded this album in Denver with a producer from Chicago, and he used Elton John's backing band.
As you do, all that?
As you do. He hated it, scrapped the whole thing, moved back to New York, got Liberty and the boys together, and acted as the producer of the album on his own.
Liberty and the boys were in a band in Long Island called Topper. It sounds exactly like the name of a band that Liberty DeVito and the boys would be in Long Island in 1976.
Right.
Would totally be in Topper.
They would be.
But it's also, we have to talk about why Billy Joel moved back to New York. And
yes.
And here he is in that weird DVD extras thing from with the ships in it.
Got a lot of mileage out of that.
Oh, yeah.
When I did Turnstiles, the manager at the time was my wife, Elizabeth. I had moved back to New York from California. It was 1975 to 76. This was after the Street Life album. There was a famous headline when New York City was going to default. Everybody kind of knows these days what the default would have been. And the New York turned to the feds and said, can you help bail us out? And there's a famous Daily News headline, Ford to New York, drop dead. And I remember seeing that headline. I was out in L.A., and I said, I'm going back. I'm going home. If the city's going down, I'm going down with the city.
The de facto mayor of New York, Billy Joel.
What is going on in, you know, what, 27-year-old Billy Joel's head, where he thinks, like, I'm going to save New York City?
Exactly.
They need me.
They need me. They need me. And, you know, I'll go down the ship if need be.
I just can't even. Is that an adult thought? Is that a thought that an adult human has?
I wouldn't think so. But if you are working on the level that Billy Joel is working at, and you just have that kind of confidence that borders on arrogance, and you think that, yeah, it probably occurred to him that maybe he could save the city. He could do a little Superman thing, save the city with his smooth grooves.
Shall we listen to one of those smooth grooves?
Let's listen to a smooth groove.
Phil Spector drum beat.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He and his baby Elizabeth, otherwise known as the former Mrs. Small.
The erstwhile Mrs. Small.
They're going back to New York.
They're going to save that city.
Say goodbye to Hollywood. Say goodbye, my baby. Say goodbye to Hollywood. Say goodbye, my baby.
So here's the specific reason I want to talk about this song. It features a melodic chunk, I'll call it a motive or a motif, that will reoccur over and over and over again in Joel. And it's basically when you start on a note, you go down a whole step, and then you go up a fourth and go back to the note. Or some mixture of those three notes. He uses them over and over and over again. So here's the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We'll hear that again in Allentown when it's like, oh, oomch, ah, right?
Yeah.
And in the phone sex song, the Sometimes a Fantasy, is death the fantasy? Oh, that's that three notes again, like
right.
Over and over and over again. He rips himself off so much, and I don't know what I think about that. Is that okay? Is that like his signature?
Yeah.
I mean, is that like his calling card? Like Joel was here.
Right. You just got rocked by Joel.
Take an aspirin before you go to bed.
Woo!
Aspirin and two glasses of water. You'll do a lot better in the morning.
Right. You'll be sore in the morning, but it'll be worth it.
Right. But my problem with that is that it's like there are composers who have like little musical signatures. But this one is just so boring. It's so milquetoast. It's not like Shostakovich. So Shostakovich had this thing that this little four note thing that he used in everything, because it's like if you go by the German representations of musical notes, which has H in it. I don't know. I forget which note is H. it's kind of like Smarch, the month of Smarch, the note of H.
The note of H in the month of Smarch. Damn, it's Smarch weather.
It's basically a spelling of his name, right? And that's why Shostakovich would use it. But it's a cool set of four notes that sounds interesting. This is just an unbelievable, such a milquetoast. I suppose it's perfect. It is his calling card.
When I first heard the song, or when I was really doing a deep listen to the song, I did some research on it, and he did it as a in the style of the Ronettes.
Yeah, Phil Spector.
Phil Spector. And at what point do you get sued? As a musician, at what point do you cross that line and it's no longer an homage, but it's blatant stealing?
I mean, I would say that the extent to which this track resembles the Ronettes' Be My Baby or something like that, which clip goes here. The extent to which Joel's song resembles that is comparable to the extent to which that Pharrell song resembled that Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah.
And Marvin Gaye's estate won that lawsuit insanely. I mean, it was a totally dumb thing. It's just a groove. It's a freaking drum groove. You can't. Are we really going to copyright that? I don't. Whatever.
Don't get him started. Don't even get him started.
Well, it's not about law. It's about being lame, right? And I think that there's lame derivative stuff that Joel does. And this, to me, actually does not fall into that category. This is like a clear, you know, nostalgic homage.
Even his singing on this is different. He might be singing from a different part of his voice.
Yeah, he's always somewhere else in his throat. It's real weird. It's real weird.
Like just sing flat.
Just sing normal, Joel. Like, why do you have to always be like, like, God.
Yeah.
Just be yourself, Billy. It's okay. You're a good person. You can be yourself.
You're a good guy. I've known you since your first communion. Sergeant O'Leary is walking the beat. At night he becomes a bartender. He works at Mr. Katchakori's down on Sullivan Street, across from the medical center. And he's trading in his Chevy for a Cadillac. You ought to know by now. And if he can't drive with the broken back, at least he can polish the fenders. Our first sponsor for this episode is Bagel Boss, with locations across Nassau County, Long Island. Bagel Boss. Bro, these bagels are boss.
The proper receptacle for bagels, real bagels, is not a paper bag, right? It's not some big billowy plastic bag. It's not, you know, one of those like weird four-sided paper trays with the where they take the bagel and they cut it and they dig it out because you don't want all those carbs.
No, but I do want all that cream cheese.
All that cream cheese, exactly. You put that in there and then you stick that into the little tray and they put it over the counter. That's not the proper receptacle for bagels either. The proper receptacle for bagels is a sleeve, like a plastic sleeve, kind of tubular thing, where each bagel it's only wide enough for one bagel at a time, and so they line up like a
Pringles can?
Yeah, like a Pringles can, like sort of like ammunition, you know? Yeah, like in fact you could take, you know, one of the tube of bagels that's like that and you could just load it straight into like a cannon, like a bagel cannon, you know?
Right.
And you could
Good morning.
Nothing makes a better impression at a first communion like showing up with a bagel cannon.
Oh, I hope Jimmy brings a bagel cannon.
Exactly.
This year.
You fire it around the room and it just, you know, hits you right in the side of the face. And you look down and you're like, oh, look at this beautiful bagel. It's right at my feet. This is the best first communion ever.
Blueberry bagels.
So, and that's how they do it at Bagel Boss. All right?
They are boss.
They're boss.
They're
those
good.
Bagels, bro, those bagels are boss.
They are so boss.
Those bagels are boss. The Bagel Boss, they've got the rabbinical letter verifying that it's kosher right there on the website. It's signed by the Rabbi Asher Schechter.
Oh, good.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid.
I remember his first communion like it was yesterday.
I remember his first communion.
And we just want to thank Bagel Boss for their support. And please, our bagel cannon is low. If you can send us another tube, that'd be great.
That'd be great. If you see my Downeaster Alexa, and if you work with the rod and the reel, tell my wife I am trolling Atlantis, wow, and I still have my hands on the wheel. Bam! Yayo!
All right, Meg, we come now to one of the first, actually, I'm going to call this the first Joel song we've talked about that Adam actually thinks is a good song without grading on a Joel curve. Like, it's actually just a good song.
Wow.
Yeah.
High praise.
And it came out of Joel said he wanted to like write a standard. He didn't want to write another Billy Joel song. He wanted to write something that could go into the Great American Songbook. And he comes up with New York State of Mind. Guy by the bar is just warming up.
Yep.
Getting the fingers limber to play the song.
Yep. I'm in a yellow taxi on my way to a bar downtown.
I'll just start the goddamn song. There we go.
Kind of melancholy, kind of.
Well, New York, Ford had just told the city to drop dead.
They did.
Okay.
They needed the only Billy one who to save it.
Billy's the only one.
He's the only one with the power.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood.
Doing his Ray Charles impression.
Yep.
Hop a flight to Miami. Again, kind of feels like musical blackface to me. I'm not going to lie. A little offended by it.
But I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line.
He's doing a lot of shout outs on this song. Mm.
I'm in a New York state of mind. Seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars.
More disdain.
More disdain.
What do you think of this song, Meg? Do you like it?
I do like it. But I think that, I don't know. I think it's so, like, if you're a real Joel fan, it's a decent song, but it's not your favorite song.
Really?
Yeah,
why not?
Because it's been so overplayed.
Mm.
It's been so overplayed.
That's not its fault.
No, it's not its fault. It's a good song.
Why are you blaming the song?
I'm blaming the song.
Why are you blaming the song? Why do you gotta blame the song? What did the song
because
do? What did the song
like,
do?
Like, I feel like this is Billy's. He's trying to. It's not a story song, really.
It's kind of a story song.
It's kind of a story song, but not really. It's.
It does,
it's not universal, is what I'm trying to say.
It's just for the hometown crowd.
It's just for the hometown crowd.
Right. It does feature an innovation that we're going to hear on everything throughout the classic period. And let's see if we can fast forward to it.
Okay.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
Yes, the saxophone is here.
The Billy Sax.
We waited so long for the saxophone.
So long.
What was it with saxophone solos from 1975 to 1987?
I think, on January 1st, 1988, they gathered up all the saxophones.
Smelted them.
Smelted them into like 808 machines.
So now, having a saxophone solo in your pop song is just it is the embodiment of being a lame white guy, right?
Right, yeah.
But I think that the irony of that is that lame white guys like Billy Joel started off with the saxophone trying to achieve the exact opposite, which was to show that they were like, yeah, I do pop, but like, man, I listen to Miles and stuff at home,
Right. I grew up on jazz.
Exactly, that's right. I really identify more as a jazz player, I suppose part of the issue is that if you're like in a guitar band, you can do a guitar solo and you usually do, right? But like a piano solo doesn't work as well in a rock context, right?
Yeah.
So you need another instrument to do a solo if you think you need a solo.
It's difficult to groove to a piano solo.
Yeah, it's just too noodly,
right? It's too noodly.
It's not melodic enough. It's not singy enough.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
it's sort of like not dirty enough. Like the sax is kind of dirty.
It's dirty? Yeah. You got to empty that spit valve.
Yes.
When I hear a saxophone, all I can hear is just like, fat, pimply boys in like middle school bands,
I play the sax.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I was one of those.
Were you?
So this is.
There's a surprise.
Thank you. So I'm giving you some Joel style self-loathing. Although, really, is he ever really loathing himself, or is he really loathing other people?
I think as he matures, he starts to loathe himself.
Okay.
I like that. I think this is also when he moves back to New York, but I think this is also the first where he's showing some self-awareness and some maturity, and his songwriting is just growing leaps and bounds. I think he may have hated L.A., but it did him really well.
Maybe this won't last very long. You feel so right, I could be wrong.
There's another song on this album that starts with an instrumental prelude. So Prelude, Angry Young Man.
Yep.
And this ended up being like the showpiece that the band would do to kind of open concerts and really show that they're all hot shit.
Right.
And I think it works. Let's listen.
This reminds me of Root Beer Rag a little bit.
Yeah. People might compare him. I was saying last episode that Billy Joel is like the best pianist out of all rock star pianists by far, technically.
Yeah.
And people might compare him to a guy like Ben Folds, but Ben Folds could play that lick, but he'd be he'd be sloppy about it. He'd be kind of mashing keys a little bit, whereas this just sounds so light and crisp.
Yeah.
The dude is classically trained, and you can really, really hear. I got to give him props. Doug Stegmeier on the bass is his name.
Yep.
Who's in the band and, like, legit a really good bass player in this band. I really like what he does.
He's got a lot going on here musically. And I like how he has taken the idea of, like, the piano solo, and whereas it was, like, sticking out like a sore thumb in the previous album, he's knitted it together with some songwriting. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I play a piano, but I can rock still. Yeah. Okay.
Roll down the windows, turn it up.
And then the problem with this prelude is that it's attached to an actual song.
Which, actually, I like this
you
song.
You like Andrew?
I do oh, like this song. I think it's his kind of self-recrimination of, again, in Street Life Serenade and The Entertainer, and he was kind of... to the angry young man with his foot in his mouth and his heart in his hand. He's been stabbed in the back, he's been misunderstood. It's a comfort to know his intentions are good. And he sits in a room... I just like it.
I just think it's another Joel humble brag where he's just being like, look at how self-effacing and self-aware I am, where I'm talking about how I was just such a silly, angry young man. But at the same time, he's saying, like, look at how righteous and motivated to help my fellow man that I was, and all of that kind of stuff. It's just a humble brag. His career is a long humble brag.
I think he's talking about an archetype. I think
An
archetype.
Is that an archetype that you have to dig up?
It's evil, and it'll bring down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll bring down empires. It'll haunt you. This sort of character that is in society that, you know, that's the rock star, that kind of Kurt Cobain sort of thing that only exists for a couple of years in a person's life that forwards the art.
Oh, the arts are so forward right now.
They're so
oh my God,
forward.
It's so forward.
So forward.
So far forward.
Here we go.
We're ready, everybody.
Eight bars.
Now just a bar at the front of the line. He gets me in the for free. And he's quick with a joke on a light of your smoke. But there's some place that he'd rather be.
So Miami 2017, Billy wrote this during The Default, and it's his science fiction song, he calls it. So it's about people who have left New York because New York is it's been blown up by the government and it's awful. And everybody goes down to Miami because that's what you're going to do. And
that's what everybody from New York does, or at least everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody of a certain persuasion.
Right. New York South. He was writing it so it sounded like a grandparent telling a grandchild how New York went down.
Really, it's the counterfactual. It's like what New York would be like if Billy hadn't come back to save it.
It's Bizarro World.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Lex Luthor, New
York.
Yeah,
totally.
Seen lights so out on Broadway. Again, it sounds like he's singing down a hallway.
Tape delay effect.
Very sci-fi.
It's more Phil Spector-y kind of thing. It's again, he's taking a page from that. They all bought Cadillacs and left their long ago. They held a concert out in Brooklyn to watch the island bridges blow. Becomes an anthem.
Yeah, we did, because we're real New Yorkers.
There's Liberty.
Yeah.
On the two and the four.
On the two and the four. Get out of my house.
Right, I think that's all we need to say about that one, right? Okay. Hey! We'd like to acknowledge our second sponsor on the program today, Friggin' Fantastic Fancy Fabrics in Mastic Beach, Long Island. The fancy fabrics are freaking fantastic.
You know, I had to make a pair of First Communion slacks for my nephew.
Sure.
Because he is...
You can't buy those at the store.
No, he's really fat. Yeah. He's so fat.
He's so fat.
He's so fat. So,
his legs, they're fat like in the lower part instead of the higher part?
It's almost like he's shaped like a large lady. He's very hippie. He's hippie for a 9-year-old.
He's a hippie kid.
He's a hippie kid. And so none of the stuff over at Kohl's would fit him.
No.
So I had to go over to my friends, my friend Francine over at Frickin' Fantastic Fancy Fabrics. She got me some really nice nubby fabric. It's a nice...
Nubby.
It's nubby. And he's also just, you know, fat enough that when he walks down the aisle, it really makes a noise. It really makes a noise.
It's like a swish, swish, swish kind of
thing?
A swish, swish,
swish. But man, you hear him coming. If I knew that was going to happen, I wouldn't got some satin pants. But then he probably would have just like, you know, glided down the First Communion corridor.
You want him? You just want to make sure that he's going to the beat of the music. Otherwise, he's going to throw the whole band off.
He really is.
Yeah.
He really is. So, Frickin' Fantastic Fancy Fabrics. Shout out. Thank you, Francine.
How about a pair of pink sidewinders and a bright orange pair of pants? You could really be a bone robber, baby, if you just gave it half a chance.
We've come to the deep cuts portion of the show, and we're getting into a phase now where these records are good enough, and it was hurt me a little bit to say good there, but I mean, you're talking about records.
I saw you
like,
wince.
Records where like there's 9 songs and, you know, 6 to 7 of them were hit singles. So you can't really say even that there are that many deep cuts to talk about. And in this case, like the deep cuts are like Summer Highland Falls, which is a ballad that people really like. I don't understand the freaking chorus that's just like, it's always sadness or euphoria. It's like,
I did some research on that too. Because I didn't really understand it either.
Well, it's like pick a fancy word for sad to match the fancy word for happy that you've got with euphoria, or go the other way around. Just say it's either happiness or sadness. Say, you know, but happiness or euphoria, they don't match.
Well, so I was looking like lyrically, there's a couple of strange things in there. Mm-hmm. There's a line that says, we come to separate conclusions that are the same about our mutual experience. It just seemed, you know, it just seemed wordy and redundant. And so I did some research on it because it wasn't a typical Billy song. And apparently when he moved back to the city in New York, he actually moved up to West Point, which is kind of in the country of upstate New York. And
the nation of upstate,
the nation,
the
of
sovereign
upstate.
Nation of upstate,
the sovereign nation of upstate.
UN doesn't recognize them.
No,
just because nobody wants that around.
Nobody does. When I think of upstate New York, I think of apples and Sleepy Hollow. Two things I really like. And the Tappan Zee Bridge. Isn't that there?
It's how you get there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mm. So I was watching this interview and he said that he had moved to, you know, the provinces of upstate New York. Mm. And he had noticed that when you're there in the country, things just start to bother you that would never have bothered you before.
Oh, like what?
Just flies and nature started to bother him. He's not really like a nature guy, but also
he's like, and where are the bagels?
Where are the bagels?
Where's
my bagel gun? And he also started to notice that his marriage wasn't going the way he thought it would. So I think this is the first time. Let's mark
really,
this.
He figured that stealing his drummer's wife, that was going to set something out on a really solid foundation from the beginning.
Right,
and he was
exactly.
Just really surprised when that didn't work out.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
So let's put a pin in this song and say this is the first time we start seeing cracks in the marriage to Elizabeth.
So we'll argue and we'll compromise and realize that nothing's ever changed.
This is the kind of song you listen to with a glass of Chardonnay. And it's like, yes, Billy, yes.
Why Chardonnay?
Because it's not as intense as, like, liquor.
Mm.
So, like, maybe your life isn't going great, but you're not at the liquor stage yet.
Right.
This is
a place where you're, like, nursing your petty insecurities.
Right.
As opposed to, like, the actual problems in your life.
Right, exactly. Mm. Or, you know, maybe some things are starting to fall apart and you're starting to notice it.
It's either sadness or euphoria. Darling, only the good die young. Oh, oh, oh. Darling, only the good die.
Okay, so that song is like a deep cut that's actually not that deep. A similarly deep cut that's, I'm going to say, quite shallow is this song called James, which is just such a dick song. Like, listen to this song.
It's not a dick song. It's a totally
song.
He's concerned about his friend.
He's not. He's being sanctimonious and presumptuous about his friend and assuming that, like, because his friend wanted to, like, go to school, that meant he was, like, actually, like, selling out or something?
No,
like,
that is not at all what I got from that.
James, we were always friends from our childhood days. Then we made our plans and we had to go our separate ways.
Remember that melodic figure. We'll come back to that.
I went on the road. You pursued an education.
Pursued an education? Yeah, that sings real well.
Your life. Can you find release?
Release?
Will you ever change? Will you ever write your masterpiece? Are you still in school? Living up to expectations, James?
I think he wrote the song as a kind of like, are you taking care of yourself? You've always been everything to everybody else. And are you taking care of you?
I would just be like, fuck you, Billy. Not everyone has to be not everyone has to be a fucking rock star in order to be happy. Like, yeah, I went to accounting school. I'm working at the Blumen Group. Ira Blumen.
Ira, he's a good guy.
He let me in on the ground floor.
He's a good guy.
Okay. I'm doing just fine. Like, fuck you for assuming that yours is the only legitimate experience of this life. Like, die. Like, seriously, die.
Oh, man. Man, that's harsh.
Do what's good for you, or you're not good for anybody.
It's not a huge dick move. To show concern for someone is not a dick move.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with he was always, I think, the character of James was a nervous guy to begin with, and he always had to take care of everyone. And this is Billy saying, I've known you since your first communion. You're a good kid. Are you taking care of you?
So we were talking before about melodic figures that Joel uses over and over and over again. There's a spot in the song where he does it, and you'll really notice it. Let me find it real quick.
Someone else's dream of who you are.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. Good ear.
What's that song called again?
It's the Bum Bum Bum.
The Bum Bum Bum.
Yeah.
I love you just the way you are. That's what that song is.
I want you just the way you are.
That's the exact same. It's not just the same melody. It's the same chords underneath it. It's the same freaking arrangement around it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same little tiny chunk of song that he does it twice. Again,
wow.
Is it lame or is it he just leaving his Joel card?
I think he's leaving the Joel card. Mm. Take some aspirin. Take some aspirin. You've been rocked by Joel.
Well, we're waiting here in Allentown for the Pennsylvania we never found. For the promises our teachers gave. Hard if we behave. Graduations hang on the wall.
And if you're going to get rocked by Joel,
you're going to want to do it in a very Caribbean way. Amon.
Amon. Amon. All you want to do is dance. The third track on this record. And if you've not heard about this song before, there's a reason. Let's listen.
Why?
Oh, baby. Oh. Don't get turned on by the radio. Oh, baby. You got nothing to play on the stereo.
The stereo.
The stereo, man.
The stereo, man.
Why don't the Beatles get back together? Why don't nobody sing a romance? Baby, all you want to do is
was he thinking?
So this is why I went down a rabbit hole of what was he thinking.
You went down a Joel hole?
I went down a Joel hole.
Shut your Joel hole.
Shut your Joel
hole. Shut your Joel hole, Meg.
Okay, so this album came out in 76. And in 1973, Catch a Fire by the Wailers was a huge, huge hit. And I'm thinking that maybe he's starting to see, again, you know, this easily influenced Joel is starting to hear this sort of like...
Oh, there's something else I can appropriate and profit from.
You know,
another charming indigenous tradition for me to assume as my own.
But what's interesting with this song is you have this call for nostalgia and this person, this character who doesn't like modern music, but he's doing this, he's singing this song in this sort of modern, you know, newfangled way. So I thought that was
a certain
kind
Caribbean
of
patois.
A certain patois. I thought that was kind of a sophisticated way of doing it, but it didn't really come off.
Oh, this is the best part.
You know that's just on a Casio keyboard.
Yeah, the steel drum solo that's a synthesizer that sounds broken.
Right.
Sounds like a broken video game or something.
The party. But you know, you've got a history of white guys stealing this sort of reggae sound. You've got
yes, you do. This
Police.
Is that history.
Well, no, I mean,
this
you've
is
got,
that history.
He's not the only one, and it doesn't make it right. But the Police did it. UB40's done it. Is it wrong? I don't know. Is
yes.
It, oh, okay.
Everything about this is wrong. Shut your Joe hole.
Shut your Joe hole.
Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone. I never said you had to offer me a second chance. I never said I was the victim of circumstance.
We got to update our Joel Power rankings. We're keeping a running tally of Joel albums from best to worst. And right now we're at Piano Man is still sitting pretty at number one, which I don't feel good about.
Mm.
What's this record at number two called?
It's the Attila album. Isn't it just Attila? Attira?
I was trying to get you to go Attira.
Oh, okay. You got to point at me when you want me to do that. Attira!
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 Number three is Cold Stone Creamery, and then we got The Hassles, self-titled, Hour of the Wolf underneath that. And at the very bottom, Street Life Serenade.
I would be happy if that album was struck off the Joel canon.
Our episode about that album was so short.
Was it? Because it was such a bad album. It was so
There was nothing
bad.
To talk about. So where do you want to put Turnstiles here?
I feel like...
You're having to think about this?
I'm really having to think about this.
This is so easy.
I'm going to go with push Cold Spring Harbor to number four and put this one at number three.
You seriously think that Piano Man is a better album than this?
Oh, I don't know. I think that it's not as good an album as Attira is what my...
Are you making a joke at the power rankings, Donahue?
I'm not. But we can't have every album be the number one album because we listened to it last. We need to have some integrity in the power rankings.
We listened to Piano Man two episodes ago.
Yeah, still.
This is a good album.
This is a good album.
All right, Adam is... I hate Billy Joel, and I'm saying this is a good album.
I would be okay.
Okay.
I think every album
of his. Look at the cover that it's got right here.
Oh, okay. First of all, back of the cover. Mm. He is back on the cover.
He's back on the cover.
And so if you... Do a Google image search for Turnstiles. You'll see the cover of the album with Billy being in the, like, he's at a subway platform and he's at the turnstile. And then there are a bunch of characters behind him. And
that are literal representations.
That are literal representations of
the people in the songs.
And that kind of like made me laugh because he's kind of a literal guy.
Yeah, exactly. This is so sums him up, you know? This is, it's just like, yep.
Yep.
I wrote a song about this girl who likes to listen to music, so I'm going to put a girl with some headphones on the record.
Angry Young Man is a black guy, though.
Yeah, and he's not that young either.
He's not that young.
And he's got like a mock turtleneck on.
It's really weird.
I just don't understand that, and I'm made uncomfortable by it.
Me too. But then look, James, he's got a bunch of books. He's got to study his accounting exams.
Exactly, that's right. I mean, Blumen Group does not just hire anybody.
I mean,
you know?
It'd be pretty stellar for Ira Blumen to look at you and say, I want that kid.
The other thing I like about this is that it's like he's got perfect kind of, it's not a selfie, but he's got perfect selfie technique where he's being photographed from above
right.
with his eyes looking up. where nobody looks fat in that position,
no.
right?
And I like his expression, sort of like, this is what came out of my brain. can you believe it?
I got the Jufro emanating out of my hair, and then beyond that, all the little representations of my totally literal songs.
And he's wearing a tie for some reason.
Well, that's become his thing at this point in his career, right? Is he's performing in a jacket and tie, which, what do you think about that?
That seems disingenuous, but I think it's a throwback back to the Beatles.
So it's a new wave thing.
No, the new wave thing would have been the New Romantics and yeah, so that's not a new wave thing. You know what, actually,
it's a very wide tie for a new wave act. I mean, like, new wave was all about the narrow ties.
That is a hella big Windsor knot.
It's kind of like if I was gonna, you know what this is like? It's like, oh, all the cool kids, you know, cool Elvis Costello at high school, he plays in this band and he wears a jacket and tie and these big Buddy Holly glasses and he looks so cool. I need to try to dress like that. So I'm going to go into my dad's closet. I'm going to get his like big ass wide tie and his like tan suit jacket and then his like his big like molester glasses, you know? And I'm going to wear those and I'm going to look like Elvis Costello, right?
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to walk into high school and be like, "Hey guys, I'm in the club now, right?"
Right? He's so cool.
And Elvis is just not even going to say a word to him. He's just going to just be like, yeah. And then just like keep on walking.
Because Elvis don't have time. Elvis Costello don't have time for that nonsense.
So coming back to it, now that we've factored in the cover.
Can we possibly get a power rankings?
You got it.
Yay.
Power rankings.
I would like to put Turnstiles at number one. You would like to put it at number three behind Attila.
Although, you know, Attila, I might like. I actually do like Attila. I'm sorry. I can't. I actually do. Why don't we just.
Can we split the difference and put Turnstiles at. Oh.
It is better than Piano Man.
Piano Man's at number one right now.
I know,
so that would
I don't
mean
know how
Turnstiles
that happens.
Has to be number one.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
I would be okay with that because I don't know why I agreed to Piano Man being number one.
All right.
What's so the hungry then?
We're going to put Turnstiles up at the top. And then if you want to, at the end of this entire podcast process,
rearrange,
just say screw it
rankings.
And put Attila right at the top where it belongs. You can do
maybe,
that.
Maybe it can be like the power rankings brought to you by Atira.
Send your angry letters to Meg Donahue, care of Shut to Joel Hole Enterprises.
Shut to Joel Hole.
Now, what do we have coming up next week, Meg?
The next album is The Stranger.
The Stranger.
The Stranger. It's got a bunch of hits on it.
This is his biggest selling album that's not a greatest hits compilation album.
Yes.
This is like, we're talking serious Joel at this point.
We are talking classic and serious Joel.
Right.
We've got Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, Only the Good Die Young, and the most passive-aggressive love song ever written, She's Always a Woman.
Yeah. Oh, God. He hates women, Joel. Joel hates women. I have a homework assignment for you and for everybody listening. I would like that before you listen to the next episode that you go on a little website that we call Urban Dictionary and look up The Stranger.
Oh, and I'd like to apologize for that.
And and just, you know, that'll just be our joke for the whole next episode, okay? Does Billy have any words of wisdom this week?
Billy does. Billy always has great words of wisdom. And this is from James, the song that you hate that you think is passive aggressive.
It's not passive aggressive. It's aggressive. It's just like saying, you think fuck you and your stupid life.
You think he's concern trolling?
Yes. 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 James is the example of concern trolling.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Okay, so this is a little word of wisdom from James. Do what's good for you or you're not good for anybody. Truth, right?
Wait a minute. Do what's good for you or you're not good for anybody?
Yep. If you're not taking care
so
of you...
So that means like...
You've got to put the mask on yourself before you put it on your neighbor. If the plane's going down.
Look, if jumping on that grenade is not good for you because it's going to blow up your insides, then really you're not going to be good for any of those people that you might have otherwise saved, right? So don't jump on that grenade. Let everybody die from the grenade. It's great advice. Thanks, Billy. Very wise.
Oh, Billy, I'm sorry. He's taken your words and twisted them.
I'm not twisting his words.
Yep, you are. You are. That's not what he meant.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I always will. Hey, let's stop Joel on Twitter. Use the hashtag Joel Hole. Tell
Joel
us what you think.
Joel Hole.
Joel Hole.
Joel Hole.
Joel Hole. Watch out for the Montauk Joel Hole.
Or as they say south of the border, Yol Hole.
Yol Hole. Hole Hole.
You can find Meg there on the Twitters at Donahue Meg.
Adam is at A Ragusea.
This podcast is just something we're doing for fun, for kicks, for laughs.
Having a great time.
Having a great time.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew. And we're not making any money with it, so please don't sue us. There's nothing to be had, even though we are definitely within our fair use rights to be using the material that we have been using.
Yeah, some of our sponsors are real businesses, but do you really think they're going to give us any money? It's a joke.
Yeah. Bagels we would take.
I would take. I would like payment in carbs.
I would take some Bagel Boss bagels.
I think, you know how we remove from the gold standard? I think we need to replace it with the carb standard. Like $1 equals 100 carbs. A bagel. La 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 boom. Boom boom ching ching bang bang. What's up? Ching 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 bong bong bong. Everybody does drums.